out. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hello, Denise. How are we going?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm fabulous. Amazing. Sleep-deprived, but happy.
Good response.
Yes. How about you?
I'm fabulous, and I'm doing well, too.
Oh, good. Not sleep-deprived, I hope.
Love it.
So we should jump in for sure. Now, National has lost, unfortunately, with the coming election, 3 MPs. Now, this is 3 amongst several over the term. Is the National Party confident in its stability as a party at the minute?
Yeah, no, we sure are. There's nothing to see here. It's quite usual for MPs, when you get closer to election, to decide whether they want to do another term, another 3 years. And people have very different reasons for why they may retire. One has been a speaker and has been a fantastic and fair speaker, David Carter. Mm. But he feels it's time to move on. Nikki Wagner, really hard-working minister. Sarah's got a young family. You know, the timing's just right for these people. They're moving on. But we've got heaps of talented people keen to be part of our team.
Mm. That obviously could be quite nerve-wracking for people who are looking at the National Party as a prospective party to vote for. Do you have anything to say to people who might be a little bit nervous about that?
Nervous in terms of, like, turnover, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I wouldn't see it that way. I mean, turnover's healthy. Mm-hmm. I would actually say the other way around. When you've got a team that isn't turning over, then you'd want to ask. But we've got loads of... I'm part of the class of 2017, if you want to put it that way, on one of the new MPs. And we're up to 14 or 15 of us. So we've got fantastic turnover. It's not unusual. People just have different reasons for why they retire, Laura. And, you know, I wish them well because they've actually done really well, all 3 of them. One is the speaker, Nikki, and, fighting for vulnerable people, for the disability community, Sarah, and conservation. So wish them well. But we've got... for instance, Tim Costley, who's an experienced military officer coming in, Chris Luxon, ex-chief of Air New Zealand, William Wood, controversially the 17-year-old coming in, Catherine Chu, a young candidate out of Christchurch. So we're gearing up and it's looking good and the team's looking really strong.
Mm. But that also is a loss in terms of the skill that goes into being in Parliament, obviously. You yourself and I have discussed previously how it can be quite an undertaking and a quick turnaround in terms of learning new skills for your first year in Parliament. You've done an excellent job at that, but that might be a concern for others who are looking at this election year.
Yeah, sure. I mean, everyone takes a while to gear up, and I think that's just being human, right? You take on a new role and a new job, and you have to learn the ropes. But our turnover is not high, and we've got a really great support team. So I found the transition pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny old life because you've got to spend most of your time in the community, but you also have a chunk of time in Wellington, and Wellington can be quite surreal. So it's an interesting question, Laura, because I think you're astute for raising it. You do have to learn the ropes in the bubble that is Wellington. Mm. But when we've got the largest opposition that New Zealand's ever seen, because remember, we won the election, but Winston went the wrong way. So we've got a really big team that has a massive support structure around it, and that's not going to change.
Mm. Well, it'll be very interesting coming into the election for sure.
It's going to be tight, Laura. We're going to work hard. Mm. There's no 2 ways. Simon Bridges has said repetitively over the last week, and I don't know if you saw polls that came out last night, that has us ahead and that we can govern alone. Mm. So clearly New Zealanders are thinking that they want to back us this year. But it's not going to be easy. We've got to fight for it every single day.
Mm, those polls were pretty interesting from Colmar Brunton. Do you want to have a quick chat about it?
Yeah, let's go for it. So it has us with the numbers able to govern alone, but only just. Mm. And it also predetermines that New Zealand First won't make it. Mm. And... I think this poll takes into account us announcing, right, Simon Bridges about a week ago, that we will not partner with New Zealand First. And I think that you're seeing exactly as we knew they would. New Zealanders saying, well, what's the benefit of New Zealand First? Mm-hmm. A vote for them is a vote for Labour and Greens. And I know personally a bunch of people that weren't happy. They voted for New Zealand First. They were not happy that they went into a Labour-Greens coalition. And I think that you'll find New Zealand First has got a lot of splintering going on right now. Mm. You've got the serious fraud investigation, all sorts of issues.
Mm. I think that poll showed something very interesting in terms of starting to, well, I guess not even starting, it represents kind of a problem with MMP in New Zealand at the minute, where we are looking at politics as a two-party race.
Yeah, well, MMP's been really interesting, hasn't it? Because it came in 1996, and we had a whole lot of parties in Parliament. We were kind of getting used to it. So the idea of New Zealanders being able to choose a niche party, if I can call it that way, a niche minor party. You know, we've had, gosh, I'm trying to think, six, seven parties in Parliament at one go, possibly more if I do a little bit of history research. So, but now we are, you're right, MMP is starting to look like it's heading back to favouring what we used to have, which is a presidential-style race, a two-party type simplification, and there'll be pros and cons for that. We kind of don't focus on all the different outcomes and the variables and so on. We've just got to fight hard for Kiwis to see that the National Party is able and wants to govern, will work hard to earn the trust of Kiwis, and then once we get over the line, we'll see how the cards fall.
Mm. I'm going to shift on to our last subject here. So government's $300 million homelessness package. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a puzzle, really, because I don't know if anyone remembers, but back 2 years ago, May 2018, the Prime Minister announced a $100 million plan to fight homelessness, right? And made some big statements like no homelessness in winter, we don't want anyone sleeping in cars or on the street. Well, fast forward 2 years, and, you know, conveniently, sort of an opening speech and opening election year, we've got some more money being chucked at it. So over the last 2 years, what has happened? All we do know that's happened is emergency housing has skyrocketed 440%, and that families waiting for a state house has gone from 5,000 to 14,000, you know, way doubled. We're actually near into tripling. So that's a massively sharp increase, Laura. And you'd have to, you know, okay, yes, cynically ask, why are we looking at sort of this catch-up package? And not everyone's happy. You know, we've heard from Auckland Action Against Poverty in terms of they're now going to be charging for people in emergency housing. You've got to use 25% of your income to have that emergency housing after a week. So, you know, it's interesting. We're just wanting to know why their initial package 2 years ago hasn't cut the mustard, and now a whole bunch of money is being chucked at something that seems very late in the piece.
Jacinda, when she was talking about this package, somewhat insinuated that blame should be placed on the National Party. She was talking about the long-term damage of the sale of state housing. Do you think that's a fair way to place blame?
No, I don't. Look, that old chestnut of blame the previous national government, seriously, every week that I'm in Parliament and listen to Question Time, I can guarantee at least half the ministers, government ministers, will bring up that old chestnut. We've had two budgets. We're soon going into our third budget of this government. It's time for them to just step up. They've had a surplus to deal with, you know, to use. They've had all the tools in the toolbox. And now that we've had that tripling and you know, 440% increase in emergency housing and the waiting list, it's time to get real about what they're doing. And let's look at some of the facts, okay? So the claims are that it's all our fault. Well, here's some stats. We built more state houses in our 9 years in government than the previous nine-year Labor government, the Helen Clark one. So Helen Clark built a certain number of state houses.
But it might be
in our next 10 years we built more.
On that statistic in particular, it might be that that wasn't as much of a necessity at the time of Helen Clark. So it might not be entirely fair to compare.
Well, we get the comparison game on us all the time, though, Laura. I mean, that's exactly what the Prime Minister is still doing.
Mm.
Nearly 3 years on, she's still talking about what we did. It's time for them to step up and look at what the stats are getting worse, much worse, under this current government, much worse.
But it does take a long time for, one, a house to be built in the first place, and then, two, for governments to have that turnaround of, it's a very short period of time that you are in term.
No, that's right. So why did Kiwi Build tank so bad?
Well, I mean, we're not talking about Kiwi Builds.
Well, it is because it's about housing supply across the board, right? So I know we're talking about homelessness, but you take pressure off the market, the housing supply. We know that a lot of Labor's policies have scared landlords off. And so we know that landlords are taking a really risk-averse. Rents are up by over $60 a week for Kiwis. And then we've got a cost-of-living struggle. The fuel taxes up in Auckland. It all adds up. And if you look at the overall economic setting, it's not just about, hey, let's just give a certain amount of dollars for one homelessness package. It's all related.
Mm. I guess I'm kind of curious in terms of national, what your major plan for is at the minute to address homelessness in New Zealand.
Well, we definitely will. Here's an interesting stat for you, and this is something that we've obviously undertaken, Karen. We've talked about wanting to partner more with the community housing providers, or CHIPs as they're known. So what we've seen is that under this government, there hasn't been the partnership with community housing providers that they could have. It's been of great interest to us. And we think that there's a whole lot more that can be done. And there, half the build that's going on right now that Labor is claiming credit for, half of it, Laura, was either contracted or underway or contracted under us.
But again, I could, with that point too, it does take a long time for things to get made.
No, that's right. So we're more than capable. The reason I raise that is shown demonstrating that we're more than capable of coming up with a program, such a good one that, in fact, the Labor government's carried it on.
Mm-hmm.
So we will address, we'll look at more community housing provider partnerships. We know that Kāinga Ora, which is the new name for Housing New Zealand, has got a good program, and we're happy to back that the same way that we worked with them, and now Labor's just continuing what was started.
As a good government does.
Yes, it does. And so you're right, where things are beneficial, they should be carried on, but I don't know why we continuously face the accusation that we did nothing. The fact that the Labor government's carrying on what we did is demonstration that that we our program was the right one.
I don't know if it's entirely that people are saying that you did nothing, but it's certainly the sale of state housing that was something that could be impacting us still to this day.
But the numbers don't stack up right, because as I just said, we built more than the previous 9 years of Helen Clark's government. So it's not like there was nothing being built. And when you look at Kāinga Ora's Housing New Zealand's program, like I just said, half the current build was underway or contracted under us. So there was a program, and we were addressing it. We won the election convincingly, and just didn't get a chance to carry it on. This government is, and they're claiming the credit and then doubling down and saying that we were the problem.
Mm.
So, they're the ones that have got the stats worsening. They should own up to that.
Mm. We will have to shift on to my last question here. A personal one. Mainly, I'm just wanting an update on what's happened on The Bachelorette this week because I haven't followed, and I need you to help me, Denise.
Well, I have to admit, I haven't watched the last one, but they're in Argentina.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and tangoing away. And all I can say is there's a fair whack of mangos going on.
Mangos?
Yeah, mangos.
So, I've never heard of like, mangos?
Well, I guess. Man gossip. Man gossip. So behind one guy, Aaron, is getting on camera when the mates aren't around and dogging them, and it's causing a whole bunch of drama.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait for the next update. I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, Denise, and I hope you have a lovely weekend.
Hey, should we approach the show and get some commission?
I feel like we should, shouldn't we?
I feel like we should, yeah.
Be a feminist.
I feel like you should actually be the bachelorette. That's what I do, Laura.
I don't think my partner would like that very much.
Oh, oops, sorry. Can you delete? No, this is live. You can't delete.
It's, yeah. Appreciate you, Denise.
See you, Laura.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.